Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered her and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one asked, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. No one got anything to drink. Jesus came to the well for a drink of water. The woman came to the well for a drink of water in the heat of the day. And they both leave without water. But they both left utterly satisfied and overjoyed at the same time. There's a deeper thirst that was quenched. One of the most formative books I ever read when I was 20 was a book called Mother Teresa's Secret Fire. We all know Mother Teresa. We all love Mother Teresa. In fact, she's one of the women I know more than anyone else. No matter if you're Catholic, no matter if you're Christian, whatever faith or belief you may be, everyone loves Mother Teresa. We have to. She's just so utterly incredible that she went out to serve the poorest of the poor, to find those who are dying, to find those who are too weak to pick the maggots from their wounds, to pick them up and care for them. She is unquestionably a light of Christ that everyone is drawn to. But Mother Teresa is not simply a social activist. Absolutely, she did good work, she did good things, no doubt. But there's a secret fire to her. There's a deeper well in her. On September 10th, 1946, Mother Teresa took a train ride. And on that train ride, she had the first of many visions. It wasn't until about 50 years later that she finally said what happened that day, at least a little bit. That she had a vision of Jesus Christ in which Jesus said, "I thirst." She had many more visions for the next year and a half, and the Lord explained to her how much he thirsts for souls. He thirsts for each and every heart, and he thirsts especially for the poor. The chance to go to them, the chance for him to express his love for them, the chance for him to have his love. Mother Teresa says it succinctly, that Jesus thirsts to love, and he thirsts for the love of each soul. I think we have the danger of hearing that God loves us. Again and again and again. Absolutely true. And the Catholic definition of love is to will the good of the other. Absolutely true. The love so strong that it goes to sacrifice itself to go to the point of dying on the cross. Even as St. Paul says, God proves his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. But there is a danger that we see that love as just the checkbox God had to mark off, the job he proved he was strong enough to accomplish, the task he was able to do. The love of God is always self-sacrifice and always intertwined with the thirst of God. God's love for us has been proven in his complete gift of self and his suffering, but also his desire, his thirst for each and every one of us. Jesus at the well says to the woman, "Give me a drink." He thirsts for the woman's soul. He thirsts for her love and the chance to love her. That the Lord comes to each one of us, yes, willing to sacrifice everything, but also in his thirst, desiring each one of our souls, desiring the chance to just give himself away to us. With the woman at the well, he first says, "Give me a drink," first expresses his thirst, but then so quickly, he mentions her thirst. And she quickly finds herself saying, "Sir, give me this living water." And Jesus brings her the deeper and deeper wells of her heart, mentioning her five husbands, quote unquote, not to shame her, but to mention there's something deeper in your heart here. And he keeps going deeper and deeper to mention there's something you are thirsting for too. To this woman who's had a hardened, calloused heart, quickly finds herself just vulnerable and open to the Lord, to the moment he reveals himself and says, I am he, the Messiah, the one your heart has been thirsting for all these years. And she leaves to go and say, this is the one. Could this be the one we've been waiting for? That Jesus is the one who thirsts for us. He is the one who will do what it takes to get us to notice his thirst and to get us to notice our thirst in our hearts for him, no matter what it takes. Lastly, this Lent is all about deepening our thirst, that our Lord will do what it takes for us to notice our thirst and for us to finally notice his thirst for each one of us. And he will do whatever it takes. That God, the living God, loves each of us to the point of saying, I thirst for you. And it's uncomfortable, because it means we have to respond. Because that means we cannot just go, oh, cool, neat. His thirst for us cannot be ignored. That Jesus thirsts for you. Deal with it. The Lord in his thirst wants us to go deeper and will draw us to our thirst to notice we have a deeper thirst than what we gave up for Lent. A thirst for happiness, a thirst for love, a thirst for him. And no matter how hard we try, nothing else will quench that. And we're finally giving him the chance this Lent to satisfy our hearts, to recognize his thirst and ours. And Mother Teresa's word, Jesus himself must be the one to say to you, I thirst. Hear your own name. I thirst is something much deeper than just Jesus saying, I love you. Until you know deep inside that Jesus thirsts for you, you can't begin to know who he wants to be for you or who he wants you to be for him. Jesus thirsts even now in your heart and in the poor. He only wants only your love, wants only the chance to love you. Hear him. Hear your own name.